throughout your week, if you had a week like mine, and it could be any week, if you spend time interacting with people, you might find yourself, Dan, shut that door. You might find yourself getting into conversations about various things that are going on in our world today. And what you will find if the conversation goes for any length of time is a desire on the part of people to make sense out of things that they deem are wrong. It's wrong. And whatever it is, whatever perspective they're coming at it with, they're looking for answers. And ultimately what they're saying is, this is not right, this is not just, this is not fair, and I want an answer. I want an answer. Okay? Well, that is a universal desire. I'm suffering. I am suffering physically, I'm suffering mentally, I'm suffering emotionally. I want to know why. It's wrong. It's not fair. Or there is an injustice, or there is a problem that doesn't seem right, and I want answers. And I find this very, very interesting, because at the same time, there is an almost universal acceptance, a universal acceptance in the rejection of a literal Genesis narrative creation. What I mean by that is the literal six-day creation of Genesis. Now, why do I make that correlation? Okay? Because you have to go back to origins if you're going to have an explanation for good and evil. All right, and I want to explain what I mean. If you could open up your Bible to Genesis. Genesis, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. Now, what do we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31? And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, what does that tell you about creation up to that point? I'm sorry? It was good. It was good. There was a time where everything was good. Now, what does the world say today about how everything came into existence? Overwhelmingly. Evolution. Darwinian evolution. Okay, now what is the essence of evolution? If you were to sum up evolution in one sentence, what would it be? Random, okay. Random, which speaks to lack of purpose. I say you can sum up evolution with one word. Struggle. Struggle. I want to read this quote. This is from the Genesis Record by Dr. Henry Morris. We've got a library going on downstairs, and I've already taught this. In this library, I know there are several copies of the Genesis Record by Henry Morris. Joe, you said you found two already? Okay. I recommend everyone read the I don't recommend books that often. I recommend everybody read the Genesis Record by Dr. Henry Morris. But I want to read this, and I want to read this and understand that every public school that I know of in the United States of America is teaching that everything came into existence through evolution. Okay? I would submit half to three quarters of the churches in this country have accepted that evolution can be read into the Genesis narrative. Okay? we're in the minority of minorities here in believing in a literal. For all I know, there might be somebody here. And I'm not asking for a show of hands. Maybe some of you think that you can read evolution into the Genesis narrative. So I want to deal with this morning, because this is at the heart of so much in our culture today, and we have to deal with it. Now, this is a quote, a long quote, but it's a quote from the Genesis record, Dr. Henry Morris. As of the verse we just read, Genesis 1:31, God had now completed his work, but before settling down to rest in contemplation of what he had produced, as it were, he first surveyed it all and pronounced the whole creation to be very good. Now, up until that point, he had said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then he deemed it very good because he had completed it. He had completed it, okay? Six times before, he had seen that what he had made was good, but now that it was complete, with every part in perfect harmony with every other part, all perfectly formed and with an abundance of inhabitants, he saw with great joy that it was all exceedingly good. That in the Hebrew is tov ma'ot, exceedingly good. On each previous day, the account had concluded by saying the evening and morning were fifth day, and so on and so on. But now it says the evening and morning were the sixth day, the definite article, and now he's referring to chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts, and by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from the work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. This is stressing the completion of the work. This one verse, Genesis 1:31, in and of itself is sufficient to refute any theory of Darwinian evolution in the Genesis record. So what I mean to say is, there are three options for how to read the Genesis account. One of them is to just complete out and out reject it and say, no, everything evolved. There's either a personal God behind all of creation, or there's eternal matter behind all of creation. And if you say you believe in evolution, then you're opting for the latter, which is that there's eternal matter. The second option is what's called the accommodation strategy, which is to say, no, I believe Genesis, but I believe that in the Genesis narrative, we can fit evolution. I have the least amount of respect for that theory. I have the least amount of respect for that theory. Okay? And then the third is to reject evolution and accept the literal account of Genesis as God presented it in the Bible. And obviously, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I would submit that the second one, where you try to fit evolution into the Genesis narrative, is ridiculous. And this shows that. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything, I'm still quoting from Dr. Henry Morris, everything in the universe was still, at this time, exceedingly good when he had completed the six-day creation. In God's own omniscient judgment. This could have been nothing. There could have been nothing that was not good in all creation. No struggle for existence, no disease, no pollution, no physical calamities, no imbalance, no lack of harmony, no disorder, no sin, and above all else, no death. Fossils, if nothing else, speak of death. Often violent and sudden death. They speak of disease and injuries, of storms and convulsions, in short, a world like the present world. Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, wanting eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Something isn't right. Something isn't right. But at this time, as of Genesis 1:31, everything was exceedingly good as God evaluated. So we have one of two conclusions. And as a Christian, before you go capitulating to the idea that Darwinian evolution can be read into the Genesis narrative, understand something. If you do that, what you are saying is that God would look at struggle, disease, calamity, and death and evaluate it as good. Okay? Or God's lying. Either way, you got a problem. You see, we have far too long accommodated this, and we have tried to be relevant with the Bible and say, we will find a way to work this into the Genesis narrative. And you know what the result of that was? We've said this morning, and I said this on Wednesday night. This all started happening in the late 1800s and then spilled over in the early 1900s, where we can accept Darwinian evolution into the Genesis narrative. What happened in the 20th century was the bloodiest century. It was more death, more murder, more mass murder in the 20th century than the previous 19 combined. You know what you get when you accept evolution? Evil is normal. Why is evil normal? Because it's not bracketed. Evil just always was. Evil is how everything came into existence, at least so to speak. In other words, I don't even think you can call it evil. It's just the norm. I mean, how can you deem something evil if it's the norm? So I would even back the truck up a second and say, you can't even evaluate it as evil because it's how everything came into existence. But you see here, and why it's so important, and it's almost like God revealed this text in such a way as to prepare us for these arguments. When he looked at creation and said, it is very good. There is no place in the Genesis narrative for evolution. Now that may create moments of discomfort. How can you be so primitive in your view that God created the earth in 6 days? Let me tell you something. If it was created out of nothing, it wouldn't matter if it was 6 days or 6 billion years. It was still created out of nothing. But I reject any long earth theory. And just, you should know that. This world is at most 8,000 to 10,000 years, and it's probably closer to 6 to 7. Now, if you think that makes me a weirdo, a primitive, I welcome that criticism. Because I'm going to go with the Bible. Because here's the problem with evolution. All right? I just said at the start of this, I get into conversations all the time about people wanting answers to evil and suffering. Well, my friend, if you believe that everything evolved the way it's presented in every public school in the country, and half or three quarters of the churches who don't even touch the Old Testament anymore, then I'm sorry, there is no explanation. As a matter of fact, you're wrong for even calling it evil in the first place. It's actually quite normal. But you see, when I drive on the road and I see a deer dead on the side of the road, I say there's something just not right. Something just not right. When I hear a screaming child in pain, I say there's something that's just not right. When I see war and I see death, I say there's something that's just not right. But you see, I can say that because it isn't right, because man was created in the image of God. But if you believe that everything evolved through struggle and death and survival, you can't say that. So stop saying it. That's how I respond to that. Stop saying that. See, it's them that's got the problem. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I believe there's a God who is transcendent and a God who is good and a God who created everything good and deemed it good. And you know what happened? It got corrupted. Why did it get corrupted? Because of man. You see, I'm the ultimate environmentalist. I'm the ultimate environmentalist. I say the reason why we have problems with the environment is absolutely 100% because of man. You know why? Because man sinned. And man violated the righteousness of God and brought corruption to everything that God created perfect and good. And we have generations now of children who are being taught that everything evolved from a bunch of apes. And then we sit around when there's a shooting in the school and we say, how could this have happened? What do you mean, how could it have happened? This is how it should be. The mayor of Washington, D.C., I don't know if you saw this, the mayor of Washington, D.C. last week said, I hope Darwinian evolution kills off anybody left who hasn't gotten the vaccine because that would be just. Now, let's back this up just a second here. Let's back this up a second, okay? Let's back it up and let's unpack this because she might be onto something here, okay? Because, you see, if you are a Darwinian evolutionist, there's not a thing wrong with what she said except one thing. The fact that she is imposing her idea of what evolution should or shouldn't do on the results of it. In other words, evolution is totally random, as somebody here said just now. Totally random. You can't make sense or an ethic out of who's going to get killed off by evolution. That's really the only thing she said that's inconsistent with her worldview. That's it. That's it. That's all she said that was inconsistent with her worldview. If she didn't say that, I'd have a lot of respect for her. If she came on and she said, hey, this whole pandemic, which is what I've said from the beginning, this whole pandemic, okay, it's just doing what evolution does. What are we worried about? What are we worried about? Testing people, vaccines, all this other kind of stuff. This is just evolution running its course. We're killing a bunch of weak people off. What's the problem? The problem with what she said is that she wants to impose an ethic on it. There's no ethic in evolution. Let's get serious. Let's be intellectually consistent here. But for the Christian to take that and try to read it in this text is preposterous. If you're going to stay consistent, that we have a God who is omniscient and a God who is good. A loving, good God would deem creation, which includes the struggle and death associated with evolution, as good. But you see, this is the essence of our hope. Because he wouldn't. You see, there was a time where there was no evil. There was a time when there was no death. There was a time where there was only good because there was only God. And there will be again. And the reason there will be again is because the God who is outside of creation is also the God who is outside of evil. Because there was a time, as we have said with the transcendence of God, that there was nothing except God, which makes him transcendent. Well, there was a time where there was no evil and there was God. So therefore, God is outside of evil. God provided the solution by intervening in history and providing salvation. And it, because of that, we have hope. Why? Because there will be a future time where there is no evil. If you believe that evil just always was, which is what evolution is saying, then where's your hope? On what basis do you have any hope at all? I mean, you're a fool. They say we're a fool for believing in some God. No, I reject that. I say you're a fool for having hope when we believe there is no God. Who's the fool here? Don't be on the defensive. Now, don't be combative. Don't be combative. Don't be rude. Don't be obnoxious. But don't give ground either. We can stand our ground on the Word of God and not capitulate to this. We have to stand our ground and not capitulate to this. Because if we don't, how are we ever going to be effective in fulfilling the Great Commission? You see, we're going to celebrate communion. If you don't accept Genesis 1 and 2, there is no context for the Messiah. What did Jesus do on the cross? If God didn't create good, and then man came and corrupted it. It doesn't make any sense. Of course, today, what does? We read in Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men until all men sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, what? Death reigned from where? Adam to Moses. Prior to Adam, there was no death. There was no struggle. How do you get fossils in the Genesis narrative? Explain this to me, please. Where do the fossils come from? How do you possibly get fossils? Fossils is the result of death. It says right here, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So you might reject Genesis, you might reject the Bible, you might reject God, but please don't take evolution and jam it into this text. That's disingenuous. It's disingenuous. What happened? Why is there evil? How do we make sense of it? When sin entered the world, something happened to the heart of man. In Genesis chapter 6, I read a frightening, frightening passage. How could God destroy the world with a flood? Or destroy everybody except eight people with a flood? What a mean, nasty God that he would destroy everybody with a flood. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Except the same people that would say that are running around saying, I just don't understand all this. What is the reason for this? School shootings and murder and calamity. Yeah. Because you know why? Evil has to be judged by a righteous God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that must have been like? The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. This is what it came to, that the heart of man who was created by God and deemed exceedingly good, now has on his heart evil continually. Continually. Now, what you always see in the scriptures is, if you go to, in this same passage here, go to verse 13 of Genesis 6. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Who caused the problem? Who caused the problem? God caused the problem? No, God didn't cause the problem. Man caused the problem. It says, the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. So man caused the problem, and God's going to deal with the problem. God's going to deal with the problem. Now, how does God deal with the problem? There's two things that we always see together in a text like this. And it's the theme of the whole Bible, which is God's judgment and God's provision of salvation. All right. Look at verse 14. He just judged man. But now what's he going to do? Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. You see, he judged the evil and then he provided salvation. And that's the theme of all the scripture. That's what we celebrate here today. But if we lose this as the literal text, in other words, not reading some cultural norm into this, which can't be done. It's just so disingenuous to try to find a way to cram evolution into this. It's so disingenuous. Let's just say you reject what God has said, and let's all move on with our lives. But please, don't try to, I'm not stupid here. All right? If you lose this, this means absolutely nothing. The cross means nothing. Don't ever preach Jesus if you don't preach a literal Genesis narrative. Because you know, we're not talking about the same Jesus. It's not the same Jesus. It's a different Jesus. It's an idea. It's a concept of Jesus. It's a nice story of Jesus. But it's not the Jesus of the scriptures. It's not. So the heart of man got corrupted. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is evil above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Is that the state of man in Genesis 1 and 2 when God looked and said, it is good, is it exceedingly good? No, absolutely not. How about Mark 7? Go to Mark 7:21. Mark 7:21. The words of our Lord. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Now I ask you, why do we look inward for answers? Why do we look at ourselves for answers? We've just seen man corrupted everything. Man has corrupted everything. Every single thing in this earth under the sun has been corrupted. You can't touch anything. Now, you see evidence of God's hand of blessing. But at the same time, you see evidence of the corrupted nature of the creation. Even within us. Try to do something in ministry. Try to do something in business. Try to do something in family. Try to have a gathering of people. And you know what you see? This well-intentioned thing always somehow, some way, in some way, goes awry, causes a problem. You say, but my intentions were good. Yes, but you're living in a corrupt world, a corrupted world. That's why things go sideways. But yet we keep going back to find our hope in this corrupted universe, or in this evil heart, or in the evil heart of somebody else. When the reality is, we have to go back to the source of good. And the only good is God, because just like we have to go to God and submit and surrender to God for all that is true, because he's transcendent and he's outside of the boundaries of creation, we also have to do the same thing as it relates to good, because he's outside of evil. He didn't create it. He had nothing to do with it. Man did it. Man did it. I quote, the kids watch C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. And Aslan, the lion, and little Lucy, when she, somebody asks, is he, and it's a type of Christ. The lion is a type of Christ. And the little girl asks, is he safe? And the response is, no, he's not safe, but he's good. And that's God. He captured it right there. That line right there captures God. You see, we've been talking about the transcendence of God. If God is only transcendent, that's a little worrisome. That's a lot worrisome. If he's only transcendent, okay, but what kind of a God is he? Well, the answer is he's good. He's good. But if we're going to take evolution and we're going to slam it into the Genesis narrative, and we got a God that looks at that and says that's exceedingly good, that's not a God who's good. That's a problem. See the problem with capitulating. We have to stop compromising. I truly believe in my heart that the reason for what happened in the 20th century is the capitulation of Christians to this idea. Because evil became the norm. Evil became the norm. And if you think the 20th century is bad, I can't wait to see the postmortems on the 21st century. I am so glad that we don't live that long. I don't want to be here for it. You wait. You wait. Okay? Now, how does this relate to our suffering? Because it still comes down to the thing about our suffering. We're all going through struggle. We're all going through challenge. Just read in Psalm 46, cease striving and know that I am God. Or how about a reason? How about a reason? How about a reason? Okay. Go to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. And we see it all captured here. Starting in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. That speaks to God being outside of evil. You can never look at God and say he is the source of evil, ever. We have to get right with this. Each one is tempted when he is carried away, enticed by his own lust. What's the problem? The corruption of man's heart as a result of sin. The heart of man is evil above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man has been corrupted in his heart. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. That speaks to the transcendence of God and the goodness of God. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. That's how we were created. But what corrupts us is our own lusts. Why? Because sin entered the world and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all men sinned. And it happened in the garden. And that's the reality. But we can look at it and say it's not normal. We can look at it and say it's not as it should be. We absolutely can do that because it's not. Because God created us good. God created us good, and man corrupted God's creation. You see, evil has brackets around it. There was a time when it always was not always, and there's a time where it will not always be. That's our hope. I don't know what hope the world has. And I think you see evidence of a total. What you're seeing is a total meltdown. A total and complete meltdown is what you're seeing. And it takes various forms and all this kind of thing. I get it. But sit back and have pity. Like Jesus said, he looked at the masses and with compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Don't revel in this meltdown. Look at it with pity. But you see, if the Christian, if we are caught up in all of this, then who's going to help them? When we fall to pieces and we can't put one foot in front of the other because we lose sight of the God that we serve and who that God is and the place that that God has in our life, what hope do they have? What hope do the lost have? See, it's one thing to take pity on them, but we're supposed to act for their betterment as directed by the Holy Spirit. Are we prepared to do that? Or are we in need of therapy ourselves? Sorry, but that's the way it is. This room right here is part of a small group of people in the state of Rhode Island compared to the masses that actually has some answers. And then we walk around capitulating to all of this nonsense. Oh, probably evolution is true, but, you know, Jesus is our Savior. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to stand your ground and say, no, I'm sorry. You see, you can't have it both ways. Either you worship a God of truth and righteousness, or you worship a God who's confused about what he was looking at in Genesis 1, or a God that recognized that there's evil, struggle, and death and deemed it good. I don't like either one of those options. No, I like God is who he says he is, and when God said it's good, it's because there was no death, there was no struggle, there was no disease or calamity. It was good, and it got corrupted after that. And the reason it got corrupted is because man sinned. I like that. I'm going with that, because that's what the Word of God says. And I see evidence of it all around me, because while I see evil, it doesn't feel normal. While death, one of the things why is death a problem? It happens every day. People die every day. But then when somebody close dies, shocked, shocked. How do you explain that? How do you explain that something that happens every single day comes as such a shock? Because it's not normal. We weren't created to accept death. We weren't created to know death, to experience death, to hear about death, to see death. We weren't created for it. There was no death prior to the fall. That's why. That's why it's a mystery. While everyone knows they're going to die, they don't understand it. I don't understand it, and you don't understand it, because we weren't created to understand it. See, the evidence is all around us. It's all around us. If evolution is true, evil is normal, and it's to be accepted, I don't want to hear about it. Don't sit here and tell me that Hitler was wrong. Don't sit here and tell me Stalin was wrong. Don't sit and tell me that anybody was wrong. You have no basis to make such a claim. Because evil is just the norm. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that this guy's wrong and that guy's wrong and this is wrong and that's wrong and the other thing is wrong, then you need to be prepared to stand your ground and give me a reason why you can say that. Because if you reject the God of the Bible, you have no such reason. I'm on good standing. I'm on good standing. There is a God who created everything good and man corrupted it. And on that basis, I can say that I have hope in that God, that he will resolve the problem of evil. And he has. Because at one time there was no evil, and at one time again there will be no evil. And I would encourage you to accept the God of the Bible as he has presented himself. Now we celebrate our Lord. And we celebrate the Lord's table. And we do that understanding what we've been talking about up to this point. This is a good, righteous, holy God who intervened in a fallen and corrupt world, corrupt because of sin, by sending his Son to take on the form of a man and to live a life of sinless perfection, being tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin, and going to the cross and becoming sin on our behalf. This is the solution that God started to reveal in Genesis as how he was going to deal. Again, judgment, salvation, judgment and salvation, theme throughout the scripture. Even in John 3:16, you know what we see? Judgment and salvation. How do we see that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. What is embedded in that is a judgment that the world needed a savior because the world was stained because of sin. When you read John 3:16, you should see God's judgment and God's salvation. So if I got those who are going to serve, come forward.